Let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and turn to Luke, book of Luke. And we'll be in Luke chapter 9. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2. And we'll be in Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll start in Isaiah. Luke chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 9. Save your place in Luke. We'll get to it here in just a little bit. There's another place we're going to spend a little bit of time here later on. That'll be in John 14. And of course, we'll be in a few other places, but we'll spend some time in those areas tonight. But if you found Isaiah chapter 9, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together. Now, each of you received a candle, and you'll see what we'll do with those here as we transition at the end of this message to some more singing. And so make sure you have those handy. And of course, parents, make your decision on what you want to do with the kids on that. But we'll be using those here in just a minute. All right. So maybe a few minutes. It depends on how long the preacher goes tonight. But Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to read one. You're going to read verse 6 with me, if you're willing to, and then I'll read verse 7, all right? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Ready, begin. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Title of the message tonight is His Name Shall Be Called the Prince of Peace. We spent Sunday talking about three other titles. As we talked about Jesus Christ being called Wonderful. And again, just reemphasizing, it's not Wonderful Counselor. Two different names here, Wonderful and Counselor, separated by commas. And that's important because you read other Bible versions and it says Wonderful Counselor. And He is a Wonderful Counselor. Amen? But it says His names are Wonderful. And another name for Him is Counselor. And then the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This matters because Jesus Christ, that is His name. He is Wonderful. Amen? He is Wonderful. And what better counselor could we ever have than Jesus Christ Himself? We spent some time talking about those two. And then also Sunday night, we talked about the Mighty God. Well, tonight we'll be talking about the Prince of Peace. Say you're skipping the Everlasting Father. Lord willing, when we come back, as we begin the new year, we'll allow some time for talking about the Everlasting Father as His name. But tonight, as we investigated the other three, Wonderful and Counselor of the Mighty God, we'll look at the final title of this verse, and that's the Prince of Peace. So let's pray, and we'll get into it tonight. Our God and Heavenly Lord, thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for the truth of Your word. Lord, I pray You'd help us as we get into this. Lord, we have a good time tonight singing songs, and then, Lord, looking at Your word and receiving what You have for us. I know this is Christmas Eve. Folks may want to get home with their families, and I'm mindful of that tonight, God, but I pray that You would help us to relish in the opportunity we have to be in Your house. Thank You for the faithful that have been here and be with those who couldn't for whatever reason. Lord, I pray You'd be pleased and glorified and honored. And I pray this in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Thank You so much. You can be seated. You know, the truth is, I found that this was a difficult one to deal with because it seems on first investigation that we receive a mix of messages when it comes to Jesus and peace. And you say, well, what do you mean? On one hand, Isaiah clearly speaks of the Messiah as the Prince of Peace. And when the angel, think about Luke chapter 2, go there if you would, Luke chapter 2, we'll look at that just for a second. I asked you to turn there and I didn't save the spot myself. Luke chapter 2, And you're familiar with this story, but you know, we have Isaiah who speaks of Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. And then when the angel host announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, their message was absolutely amazing. Again, we talked about it already in the month of December regarding the angel of the Lord came upon them, verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. Just the angel of the Lord being there, it was an amazing thing and humbling to them. And the angel had to say, fear not. But look what the angel says. For behold, verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, all of a sudden, just the entire night sky lit up. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, thousands upon thousands, praising God and saying, read this with me, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we're familiar with those verses, and that might be why you were surprised when I said it a little difficult to deal with, because we receive mixed messages. Jesus being called the Prince of Peace, the angels saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But then on the other hand, look at Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus himself said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, not only that, it's clear to see as we look around the world today, and we look at all this going on in society, that it's hard to find peace on earth, isn't it? We've got two wars going on. Okay, I know one's on a 60-day break, right? But it's hard to find peace on earth. Year after year, we see the absence of peace in our world, and mankind's inhumanity against man grinds endlessly on earth. So how do we reconcile this then? Well, the answer is found in our understanding of the word peace. See, in our society, the term peace is mostly connected with the absence of conflict. And there since, you know, I don't know, I'm going back to the Vietnam War. Since that time, there have been protesters calling for peace in every war our country has ever faced. But you don't have to be a pacifist to want peace. We like peace, don't we? Peace is nice, isn't it? The truth is that people are looking and longing for peace in our world. So in our minds, peace is connected with quiet. Peace is connected with a lack of conflict. Peace is something that people desire. And it's almost as if we define peace by what it is not, war. If there is no war, there is peace. But I want you to look at something. I want you to notice something here tonight, all right? Stay with me. The Hebrew word Isaiah used for peace, go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Believe it or not, the Hebrew word Isaiah used for peace, it's different. I mean, I'm going to look at it a couple different ways. The word here is the word, you've heard of it, shalom. Everybody say shalom. That's the Hebrew word here for peace. It means this. It's used to describe, yes, anti-hostility or the cessation or the stopping of hostility. We don't like confrontation. All right? You don't understand what I'm saying? It's used to describe that. But the word itself pictures health. The word shalom pictures wholeness, harmony. It pictures completeness. To have shalom is to have not only a quiet life, which is, we like our quiet days, don't we? Yes. but also to be fulfilled in every way is the idea. It's possible to have shalom spiritually and personally. And what the idea here is this: in the middle of war, in the middle of trials, in the middle of hard times, in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of things going on in your life that are just aren't what you expected, surprises, health situations, family situations, and in the middle of those things or those kinds of troubles or those kind of problems in your life. So how is Christ, the Prince of Peace, using Isaiah's understanding of peace as shalom? I see two distinct things here with this title, Prince of Peace. And that we can help us now, and then there's one in the future. So we'll go quickly through these. Number one, Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he offers us upward peace. That is peace with God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he offers us upward peace. That is peace with God. You know, the Bible sometimes calls the message of salvation the gospel of peace. Paul said, maybe you can finish this, Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And it goes on to say, and bring glad tidings of good things. I love that verse. Ephesians 6:15, when Paul was talking about the armor of God, he talked about feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Why is the salvation message called the gospel of peace? Well, here's why. Because we're born at enmity with God. We're born sinners, right? We're born into sin. And we're born, in essence, at war with God, or worse yet, God at war with us. Why? Because of a nasty three-letter word. I'm going to spell it for you. S-I-N. We're told in Romans 3:23, would you quote it? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53:6, you probably know this one too, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We've all turned away from God. I know who I'm talking to. You're the Tuesday night crowd. I mean, you got your Sunday morning crowd, your Sunday night crowd, you got your Wednesday night crowd, and then you've got your Tuesday night crowd, okay? And you're the Tuesday night crowd. And this waywardness has separated us from God, who God can't look upon sin. He had to turn his back on his own son, who was bearing the sins of the world on his body, and he must judge all sin. And listen, that's where Jesus comes to the rescue, okay? We're talking about the Prince of Peace here. At Christmas time, we're reminded that Jesus came to earth as a tiny baby. I'm glad the story doesn't end there, though, because this babe was God the Son who grew up, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. He died on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin in your place. Listen to what Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, said. He said this in Luke 1:79. He said that Jesus came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I love it. That's what Jesus came to do, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You need God's guidance in your life? Yes or no? Absolutely. And Jesus came to bring light to darkness, Zechariah said. And then he came to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, in other words, there's another way. Implying there's another way. There's a way that's not peace. You don't want to go that way. You want to go the way of peace. And those without Christ are in spiritual darkness. Raise your hand if you know somebody who's in spiritual darkness tonight. they're without Christ, they're not going the way of peace. They're in spiritual darkness, but Jesus came to give them light. Jesus came to guide them into the way of peace. That's why Jesus came. And the way of shalom, peace, is found only in God. We know how somebody experiences this, don't we? Somebody experiences this by trusting Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you don't have peace. You might have temporary peace. You might have joy sometimes, but the truth is, deep down inside, no matter how good things are going, you know something's missing. You know something's not right. You wonder, is there a God? You wonder, is there a heaven? You wonder, am I going there? That's not a very peaceful way to live, is it? No, it's not. But you can have peace. And the people you know and love, they can have that peace. Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have, anybody know? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, we are justified. Now, I like this definition of justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. Just as if you'd never sinned. You've been justified. When you got saved, you were justified. And he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Did I do that right? No, that's north. Okay. As far as the east is from the west. There we go. That's how far away he removes our sins. If you're saved tonight, you're justified. If you're saved tonight, say amen. You're justified. Just as if you never sinned. If you're a believer tonight, you stand before God as perfect, justified. But it's not because of you. It's not because of what you've done. It's not because of your works. Paul says that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God saves us because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And you put your faith and trust in him as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're saved, there's no barrier between you and God. You've been reconciled to God. You are no longer at war with him. All right? But you have peace with God. And if I know it's a Tuesday night crowd, but if you don't know Christ tonight, you can be saved. You can turn from sin and believe in Jesus today. Put your faith in him. Second, Jesus is not only the Prince of Peace because of the fact that he allows us to have peace with God, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he offers us, as believers, inward peace. Now, this is where it's probably going to hit home for most of us. Paul calls this the peace of God. See, we just talked about the peace with God. This is the peace of God. And Paul says that we can have that. Upward peace, peace with God, has to do with being saved. Inward peace, peace of God, refers to spiritual peace, refers to emotional peace, refers to having these things even in the middle of hard times and despite the stabbing of pain and fear and doubt and hardship and difficulties and temptations and other attacks. And we can have that. Go to John 14, please. John 14 in your Bibles. Verse 27. See, just before leaving the disciples, Jesus left them with a wonderful promise, and it's the same promise for us today. John 14, verse 27. Ask Brother Mark if you would read that out loud for me, please.
Peace I leave with you, my peace. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Unfortunately, many Christians don't experience this peace that Jesus was referring to. And the reason why is because sometimes we just don't know how to activate it. It tells us right here in the verse that he just read. Notice the word let. This little word. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The problem for believers is this. Believers let their hearts be troubled. Jesus implies that when we lose our peace, or when we are at a place where we don't have peace, this shalom, there's something we do. See, Jesus had just told him, I'm leaving. But he also told him, I'm going to die. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, they had reason to be troubled. But he said, don't let that happen. And you might say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life. I have reason to be troubled. I'm telling you, Jesus is saying the same thing to you. Don't let that happen. You say, well, how am I going to do that? How is that going to happen? Jesus used the word let not. The problem is we let ourselves do this. There's a man who went to a psychiatrist and said, every night when I get into bed, I think someone is under my bed. That's kind of weird. That'd be kind of creepy, right? And then I get up and look, but there's never anyone there. Anybody ever grow up reading Calvin Hobbes? Calvin Hobbes had a book called Something Under the Bed is Drooling. And it had a picture of Calvin sleeping on his bed, and there was drool just coming out from underneath the bed. One of my favorite little comic strips ever. It was fun to read. You should check it out. It's good, healthy, wholesome reading right there. But this guy had somebody under the bed drooling, evidently. But he said, I get up and look, but there's never anyone there. He said, this goes on all night, up and down and up and down. It's driving me crazy. He said, do you think you can help? The doctor said, I think I can. All you have to do is visit me twice a week for the next 2 years, and I think I can cure you. It'll cost you $75 each visit, so it'll be about $7,800 a year. Don't do the math. I already did it. It works out. The man said, that's pretty steep for a working man like me. I'll talk it over with my wife, and I'll let you know. The next week, the man called the psychiatrist and said, thanks, doc, but I won't be coming back. My wife didn't like your price per visit, so she just solved the problem. Wife comes to the rescue. The doctor said, oh, really? How did she do that? The man said, she just cut the legs off the bed. I like that. It's a good solution. Here's my point. God wants to saw the legs off of your worries. God wants to saw the legs off of your concern. In other words, he wants to get rid of the problem. But that only happens if we let him. We're not to let our hearts be troubled. Go to Isaiah 26. Something very important here that I want to talk about. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Would you read this one out loud with me? Isaiah 26, verse 3. Ready to begin. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I like that word, perfect peace. Those two words, perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, you might have memorized that when you were a kid, or you've heard it if you haven't had it memorized, possibly. Maybe you've quoted it, read it, heard preached on, whatever. But there's a deeper thought here that we don't really notice. And first, Isaiah used the word keep. That will keep him in perfect peace. Keep means to guard. Keep means to protect. Keep also means to hide. When you look it up, you study it out, that's what it means. Isaiah is teaching us that those who meet God's conditions are protected by God, because they're hidden in or guarded by or protected by God. This doesn't mean we're kept from trouble, but we're hidden in the one who walks us through trouble. An illustration, Jesus didn't keep the disciples from the storm, right? He didn't keep them from the storm, but he was with them in the storm. He's not necessarily saying, I'm going to keep you from trouble. That will keep him in perfect peace. He didn't say, I'm going to keep him away from the problem, but I'll keep him in peace during the problem. I'll allow him to have peace during the hard time. He was with them, and he hid them from the harm of the storm while they were in the storm. See, the storm could only do what Jesus allowed it to do, and it was there for their good in that purpose. The second word I want you to notice in Isaiah 26, verse 3, that will keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect peace. Now, this might surprise you. The word perfect is actually not found in the original Hebrew text. So really, did they get it wrong? No, they didn't. It actually says, not perfect peace, it says peace, peace. That will keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If you were to read it in the Hebrew. I remember hearing about that. I thought, wait a minute, no. I remember that being brought up back in Bible calls. I'm like, what? So, but it is. You look it up, you study it out, you find out. The word perfect is inserted there. Why? Why did the translators put it there? Well, it's because of an unusual pattern that Isaiah did there. It's that pattern of where he uses the word peace twice. So it actually reads, thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. We don't do this in English often, but sometimes we do. Saying a word repeatedly in English grammar, this is called reduplication. We reduplicate a word. Stay with me for a second. For instance, Winston Churchill said this, never, 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 never give up. That's what he said. Your kids say it. I really, 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 really like chocolate chip pancakes. This is what Josiah says. We do that too. Evidently, there's a candy called a bonbon. It's a French candy. Anybody ever heard of it? Okay. So, you know what bonbon literally means? Good, good. Good, good. And evidently, it's really, really good. Somebody catch that? Okay, good. Is it that good? I've never had it. Listen again to John 14, 27. We were there earlier. Listen to these words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You notice that Jesus repeats his peace in this verse. He says it twice in the same sentence. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. That's the same sentence. There's a comma there, not a period. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give. This is not just peace as the world gives. This is bonbon peace. Right? This is good, good peace. This is peace, peace. Or this is perfect peace, which is why it is translated as perfect peace. It's extra emphasis on the word peace is what it is in the Hebrew. And it has to be translated as, the only way to translate it is by saying it's perfect peace. Meaning this, it's exactly what you and I need in our lives. And we need nothing more than that. We need his perfect peace. There's nothing greater than that for the believer. Look at the other word there in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Here's the key. There's a condition to obtaining this peace. Who does Isaiah say will have this peace? It says, he whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. Or the word is, means steadfastly fixed. I need God's peace. God, I need your peace. That I need your mind to be stayed or steadfastly fixed on me. I need you to be thinking about me all the day long throughout your week. I need you to be stayed on me. Not on yourself, on me. You want my peace? I want to give you my peace. But it's to the person whose mind is stayed on or fixed on or focused on Jesus Christ. And if we don't, we will allow Satan to build mental strongholds which can only be taken captive by Jesus Christ, by divine power, bringing every thought into captivity and making them obedient to Christ. Another word there in Isaiah 26:3. Here's the most important word for you and me right here. Trusteth. Trusteth. God's peace, peace only comes to those who steadfastly fix their minds on the Lord because they trust in him. You want God's peace, you got to trust God. And that's how you're going to stay fixed on him, by trusting him. That word is the key. That word is the key to not letting your heart be troubled. We're to trust in him. you believe in God, believe also in me. That's what Jesus said. It's the same thing. Isaiah 26:3 is saying that you got to trust me for my peace. And Jesus told his disciples that they can have that peace. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's trust. When you were a child, question. How many of you, when you were, maybe it happens on occasion, but I really doubt there's very many 5, 6, or 7-year-olds that lose sleep worrying about the bills. There's probably not very many 5, 6, or 7-year-olds that lose sleep about their parents' job. And their parents might be struggling, and they might know something, but or health, or having enough food. Why? Because children know their parents take care of that. They trust in them. You trusted in your parents to take care of those things. Real peace means trusting Jesus to take care of the details of your life. You with me? That's peace. Trusting Jesus to take care of the details of your life. That's peace. That's the same picture of a child trusting their parents. That child has peace. Right? I find it interesting that at Christmas time we're celebrating the birthday of the Prince of Peace. The universal sentiment is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But Christians are often in great turmoil. I mean, even today, last couple of days, we worked hard to get drywall done around here. About an hour ago, we were having issues with a PowerPoint presentation because it wasn't working. And Brother Glenn almost pulled his hair out. No, it wasn't that bad. He was patient and humbly worked through it and figured it out and got it to work. Praise the Lord for that. But it's sad that so many Christians lose their peace. We're celebrating the birthday of the Prince of Peace. But did you know that more people become depressed in this season than any other time of the year? There's more marital problems that tend to become more pronounced during this season. Maybe it's already happened in your family. Did you know there are more suicides that take place during the Christmas season than any other time during the year? For some, Christmas is an exasperation. For some, Christmas is distress. It's certainly not shalom. I challenge you to fix your focus, stayed on Jesus Christ. Put your peace in Him. And then, last, we need to see this and understand that someday Jesus will be the Prince of Peace in a literal future kingdom. Now I'm going to go through this part very, very quickly. All right, so just stay with me, okay? The peace the Prince of Peace gives us now is spiritual and emotional, on a personal level. Outside of our hearts and minds, the world we live in is filled with war and filled with hate, filled with conflict, filled with political fighting and social division, injustice, greed, murder. The longing of the hearts of the people around us is they want peace on earth, not just peace in our hearts. But we can never usher in peace on earth by ourselves, no matter how hard we try. But someday Jesus is coming and He's going to bring everlasting peace. Amen? One day the Prince of Peace will come back, the Lord of glory. I love it. I've read that the return of Jesus to bring peace on earth is mentioned no less than 318 times in the Bible. It's going to be a wonderful time, unparalleled time when Jesus comes to set up a kingdom on earth. Listen, swords will be beaten into plowshares. The Middle East problem is going to be gone. There'll be no injustice. Jesus will rule. When Jesus rules, there's going to be no racism. There's going to be no corrupt government. There's going to be no terrorists. There's going to be peace in the natural world. Isaiah says lions will lie down with lambs. Leopards will lie down with baby goats. Cattle and bears and lions will be herbivores. Babies will be able to put their hands down in the holes of asps and vipers without harm. After 1,000 years of kingdom rule on this present earth by the Prince of Peace, God will destroy this universe, destroy this earth, destroy, and He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where His peace will last forever. It's wonderful already to know Christ. But I'm just saying the best is yet to come. Amen? The best is yet to come. If you'd stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed at this time, I just want to ask you some questions. Do you long for peace with God? What I'm talking about is are you saved? Or you do not know for sure? Do you long for peace with God? Or are you still at war with Him because of the sin that separates you? You can have peace by trusting God as your Savior. You can't have peace if you don't. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, I'll give you peace. Okay, Christian, what about you? Are you troubled and tossed about in your soul because you have not trusted in God in the midst of your trials? You trust Him for salvation, but you're not trusting Him for your trials. You're not trusting Him for what's burdening you right now. You have questions. You have concerns. You have something stirring up in your heart and your mind, and you have not focused your mind on Him. I want to encourage you to slow down and focus. Stayed. Get your mind stayed on Jesus. Is it? And never forget, though you can experience peace with God and the peace of God, the best peace of all is yet to come. Someday, Jesus will bring peace to this troubled world once and for all. Keep your eyes on Him. And then finally, I'm gonna ask Brother Glenn if you'll go back there and turn off a few of these lights here real quick. Remember this. Remember to tell others about the gospel of peace. You can look this way if you want, unless you're dealing with the Lord about something. Because the message of salvation, the Bible teaches this. Romans 10:15. The Bible teaches how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Ephesians 6:15, Paul commands the believer to have his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have a question for you. Are you sharing the gospel of peace? See, here's the thing. As you reach one with the gospel of peace, if you reach one, then there are two. And then if two will go out and reach somebody, then there's going to be four. What I'm saying is, you're saved. You have the gospel of peace. You go tell somebody else. And as you tell somebody else, and you both go tell somebody else, then it multiplies. And pretty soon we have now six Christians. And then they go and tell somebody. And it just keeps going. And as each one reaches one, the problem with this world is not they need more. Listen, the problem with this world is not that we need to fix the economy. The problem, the answer, the solution is not we need to get the right president in office. I'm thankful for maybe how things have turned out, but that's not the problem. But as some are getting the hint here, we've got to reach one, and others are like, what do I do? Just hold my candle? No, you got to go reach somebody. And as we each reach somebody, then more are reached. And here's the solution. This world needs the peace of Jesus Christ. They need the Prince of Peace. You know Him. Amen? You know Him. You know the Prince of Peace. Others need to know Him too. Let's go, Lord, in prayer at this time. And just pray to God in your hearts as I pray. For His help in our lives, His peace in our lives, that He'd use us to bring peace to a lost and dying world. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful for who You are. Thank You for just the powerful songs. Thank You for the message of peace that's in Your Word.
Thank you, Lord. It's a perfect peace. It's a good peace. It's a peace peace. It's exactly what we needed for salvation. Exactly what we need in our hearts and our lives. So go about our every day. Lord, we need you in a great way. Thank you, Lord, for being a holy God, a righteous God, a perfect God, a loving God, a God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. That's how much you love us. May we show our love to you by living for you, by serving you, by telling others about Jesus Christ. May we have a wonderful Christmas as we honor you. We look forward to all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.